Monday motivation. Start your week off flying high. Monday motivation. It's your time to rise and shine.
Hey guys, happy Monday. This is Rebecca. We are here with Monday Motivation Podcast. And today we have a very special guest. She is the founder, correct me if I'm wrong, she is the founder of Old House Vintage Market.
Yay!
Her name is Bernadette. How can you say your last name? Rankin. It's always a challenge with last names for me, but I made it. So
you totally got it.
Okay. So Old House Vintage Market, it is the best. It is the best vintage show that she runs in Colorado. We participate a few years ago as a vendor. We fall in love with her concept, her vision, how she does that. And I wanted to bring her to Monday Motivation Podcast because I think it will motivate you, wake up and do what you love. And I think that Bernadette has a passion to not only do that for herself, for her life, but to bring that to other people. Mm-hmm. And not only Old House Vintage Market has their own soul, their own character as to being the best show that I know in the state. And I believe that also Bernadette carries that vision for her life and where she come. Oh, this is so sweet. Where she comes from and how she decided to do this, her own thing. And to tell you the truth, guys, this has changed a lot of people's life, including mine. So welcome, Bernadette.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. We're excited to have you here. So can you tell us a little bit about your story and what you did before? Why did you decide to do a vintage show? And how did this all came about it?
Okay, so this is a kind of a winding path of a story, but I was a police officer for 13 and a half years. So I started out in I was born and raised in Texas. I started out my career there as a police officer. And I wound up also buying a fixer-upper house while I was a police officer. And slowly but surely was fixing up that house. And it was built in the 1940s, but a lot of the character and charm had just kind of been lost over time. So I was pretty determined to put some cool, you know, architectural salvage and antique parts and pieces back into the house and kind of give it that charm again. And around that time, that's my phone going off as far as text messages, where I was patrolling as a police officer, there was a street with historic homes, and they were just totally fallen down and in disrepair. And there were a lot of homeless people, the transient population coming and going from these houses. And I would see every now and then some of them walking away from the houses carrying things, you know, like they had taken it out of the house. So I went into the house while I was on duty and was looking around, and it was as if the family had just up and left, and they had left, you know, like half their possessions there. So I'll never know what that story is because that family was long gone, but it just, you know, it seemed like there was a huge story there, and it seemed like those historic homes were just not being appreciated. And then on top of that, there was a developer's sign out front. So it was pretty apparent that they were going to demolish these homes. So I contacted the developer off duty, so just in my own time, and said, listen, you know, I'm a police officer. I noticed that the transient population is taking stuff from the homes. You know, are you demolishing these homes or what's the story? And in my own time, can I walk onto your property and salvage some different parts and pieces for myself? And so he, in the true Texas spirit, he was located in Houston, and he just said, you know, you do what you need to do. That's just fine. You have a month to take whatever you want from the four houses that we're going to demolish. So basically he gave me a free pass to take and salvage anything and everything that I could possibly take during that 1 month before they demolished those old homes. So, I was there multiple times a week. I had my family out there. I had friends out there. I had anybody who was willing to go out there in the middle of August and sweat their ever-loving rear ends off, because it was just so, it was so hot and it was so miserable. But I just knew that in my gut that, you know, there was something, some road that I was headed down that I had no idea and couldn't see the destination, just knew I needed to throw myself down that particular path. And I'm telling you, like, I got stung by bees. I got poison ivy. I almost fell off of a balcony of one of the houses. At one point, I couldn't get anybody to go with me. And it was more of a safety kind of thing, as far as having someone there with you, because these are empty and abandoned houses that you can't see from the street. And so if a homeless person or any person with ill will were to come in there, people knew I was going there. I always did the phone call. I said, hey, I'm headed there. And I'll call you when I leave. But during that time that I'm there, you know, it's just me. So I went there one time by myself, and I was salvaging some parts and pieces out of the kitchen of this old home. And I heard, like, distinctly to this day, footsteps coming towards me in the house. And I have never moved so damn fast out of that house to get to a place where I felt like it was safe. So I just, there's a lot of, and I wouldn't suggest that. To this day, I felt like that was an unsafe move on my part, but that was the mindset that I was in. I was so driven and so determined for some reason beyond just, you know, doing this for my own house. And so at the end of, you know, going into these homes and salvaging all these parts and pieces, and I didn't have a clue what I was doing. You know, I go in there with all these different tools. I go in there with, you know, random things, and just learned as I went how to collect these things that had so much of a story behind it. Cause I just couldn't stomach at the end, you know, was I okay with these stories being lost, with these really cool, you know, parts and pieces that represent the only thing that's going to be left of these historic homes after they're demolished. And so, after they were demolished, it was kind of a really sad day. But I had so much, I had acquired so much that I filled up my garage, and I had people asking me, you know, why are you doing this? What are you going to do with all of this stuff? Where do you even see this going? You know, why? You know, all this doubt, but I knew they were coming from a place where it's just like, I don't understand, but okay. You know, and I just had to say, you know, I don't know right now. I don't know, you know, what I'm going to do with all this stuff past, you know, incorporating it into my old, you know, my own home. And so, after that I started, and I truly had a lot. And so after I used what I wanted for my own home, I wound up selling some on Craigslist, and then I moved to Etsy and opened up a shop and started selling on Etsy. And I sold some on eBay, just trying my hand at, you know, how I didn't know a thing about any of this. I didn't even know if people would buy this, but I knew that I loved it. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what pushed me to. Around that time, my then boyfriend, who's now my husband, we both decided that we were going to move to Colorado before we got too invested in our jobs in Texas. So we both applied for police officer positions in Colorado. I wound up working for the Golden Police Department, and he wound up working for the Arvada Police Department. And I packed up all of that stuff that I salvaged. It took two of the biggest U-Haul trucks to get all of my stuff to Colorado. And I tried to pick up where I left off. And one of the, like, the turning points in my kind of this path that I took was I visited some area vintage markets. And I just remember parking my car and walking towards the outdoor market and thinking, I have to be involved in this in some way. Like, I have to, they have to accept me. Like, I just was so intent on being involved in that, like, thriving, you know, like, happy vibe, and that just, like, it was just so exciting and so inspiring to walk through the, you know, this free outdoor marketplace and thinking, my God, I want to know these people. In retrospect, when I left, I was like, what is this? You know, what is it about this marketplace and just markets in general that I want to be involved? And it came down to the fact that I had finally found my tribe of people.
That is so good.
But everybody there was just like you, Rebecca, where you walk through and you look and you're just like, this beautiful, vivacious woman is painting these gorgeous scenes on screens. And, you know, it was like that. And I know at that time, I don't think that you were a vendor. I think this was like 2013. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I had been lucky enough to come across you yet, but, you know, but there were just so many inspiring vendors out there that had all of these stories. Mm-hmm. And they were just so excited and so happy. And it was so infectious. Like, everybody was so willing to, like, help and to give advice. And, you know, so after I walked through that market, the very next one that was available for me to do was a holiday market. And so I was not able to, like, take pictures of a previous market space. You know, I had nothing, you know, so I dragged all my stuff out into my driveway. I set up a 10 by 10 spot. I took pictures. I still have the pictures to this day. They're just like these. I mean, it was just the best I could do at the time. And I didn't care because, you know, I knew at that time that with my limited skill set of, like, I don't know how to create a display, but I know that these things go together and it looks good, you know?
Wow.
And so I snapped a bunch of pictures and I sent them in to the market organizer and I applied and I got into that holiday market. So, I wound up, to this day, I have pictures of the market space I set up too. And it's just a horseshoe of card tables with, you know, tablecloths on top of them. And, you know, everything is at, you know, one level, waist high. You know, it just was like a very pretty, very nice garage sale look. And, you know, but I was just so excited to be involved and to know, you know, to get to know these people. And I remember who was on either side of me to this day, and how, you know, comforting they were when I was nervous about, you know, selling. Will people like my stuff? Will anybody buy anything? Is this going to be a total disaster? And I just remember one of the very first customers that walked into my space. She was this petite redhead, and I'll tell you her name in just a second, but she walked in and she, you know, looked around my space, and then she started looking around, and I knew she was looking for me because I didn't leave any space to actually, like, have a cash register. I had no space. You know what I mean? I just didn't have a clue what I was doing. And so I had to stand in the aisle to check people out. And so this redhead is looking for me, and I stepped forward and I said, you know, how are you doing? Let me know if you need anything. And she's like, you know, this is your stuff. And I said, yes. And I kind of gave like a, you know, kind of a modest smile, kind of like, yes, should I be claiming this or should I not? And he just said, you know what? You have a really great eye and I love your stuff. You have great prices. I've never seen you before. If you ever need anything, you know, just let me know. And she wound up writing down her name and her phone number on a piece of paper. And she wound up being, basically my mentor all the way up until this day. And
oh, wow.
She's been a vendor at every single market except for the first one because her son was graduating that day. And so her name is Amy Cosdron and she is the Pink Attic Cat. And it's just funny how things work out. The people you meet and your tribe that you build and how everything kind of falls into place when you finally find your way, you know, and it's when you've got this gut instinct and you've got this, like, this, you don't know where this, you know, this drive is coming from. And sometimes some people do, but I just, you know, I didn't know at the time. And so, you know, I just threw myself down that path and followed it for all it was worth. And so I did markets for several years as a vendor. And my very last market was one that kind of wound up giving me the swift kick in the rear that I needed to finally step away from being a vendor, but not just that, having the courage to say, okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do my own market. I'm gonna throw this party. You know, people might decide they don't want to do it. People might decide that they don't want to show up, but I have to at least try and put everything I've got into it and see if this is gonna work because, you know, it has all the makings to be really successful. And the reason I thought that is because I used all of the lessons that I loved and hated about the different markets that I did and I applied it to my own. So the very last market that I ever did, it was one that was such a hit for customers, but it was just such a disaster for vendors. And it was an event that was not, didn't really take vendors into account and didn't really give them any consideration. So there was, you know, it was poor lighting. It was freezing. It was, I couldn't hear the customers unless I was 2 inches away from their face because the music was so loud. There was never any toilet paper in the porta potties. It was only until loadout that someone pointed out that there was a door, you know, an exit door right by my market space that I could have loaded into. And instead, we walked miles to drag my super heavy, antique salvage. You know, I'm talking like giant mahogany tables that I had.
Oh, built. Wow.
Yeah. Like back-breaking, you know, like super heavy, super giant, you know, bulky pieces. And I, you know, I could have walked 5 steps. And so it was just things like that where I just was like, am I going to bitch and gripe about this and be a victim to, you know, an event that I don't like? And, you know, what am I going to do about it? You know, cause I'm not going to sit there and whine, you know, what can I do with this bad experience and turn it into something awesome? Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the final straw, but it was also the final kick to go again down this path that I didn't know where it was going to head off to. I knew that my intent was to do the best that I possibly could, put on the most awesome show that anybody's ever, you know, visited, give them so much value that, you know, there was no way that someone could walk out the door and not have their mouth dropped open going, wow. You know, because why else would you get into, you know, something new? Why else would you put effort into something only to be mediocre? And I knew that, you know, with the crowded vintage market industry, mediocre was not going to get me anywhere.
Wow.
So, Yeah. So that's kind of the very long-winded story of how this all kind of came about. And it, yeah, it's all, it's just funny how all these things needed to happen. If I had not had a horrible last show as a vendor, I might've just sat there comfortable, you know, instead of trying to do something new, instead of trying to put something new and different out there. And so, it, I mean, it had to happen. It had to be that bad in order for me to decide, okay, I'm going to do something different. And, you know, these other vendors deserve something different too, you know?
Right. Now, so, now when you see that your show is about to start and you see lines of people outside to come into your show and enjoy, how does that feel?
It is beyond humbling. It is almost brings me to tears because these people have, you know, put this on their calendar. They have valued it enough to stand in line, first of all, to show up before the market starts, to stand in line, whether it's hot or cold or, you know, uncomfortable to stand that long. And they are willing to come in and pay money that, you know, money is valuable to everybody. You know, nobody just throws their money around. And so they have made this decision to spend their time and their money to come specifically to my market and to see you guys. And, you know, that is, you know, beyond, I'm beyond thankful. I am to this day will never miss that moment of getting to look out those front doors and see those people and, you know, just send a, you know, a thank you out there, you know, and yeah, I'm just, yeah, I'm speechless right now. It's just beyond humbling and I'm so grateful for it.
That's amazing. Your story is very inspiring. Very inspiring.
Well, your story is inspiring.
And I think that this is going to help so many creative people that, you know, you do what you have in hands and then you grow out of your own need, you right. know, and it's amazing to just, I knew that your show was fabulous, but now to know the start, now to know the story behind it, I knew there was a story, but now to understand the story behind it, it just, it's a wow. Okay. It's amazing.
Oh, now, thank you.
Now when we were talking, you know, we were talking the other day, you said something about the future and I'm not sure if you can reveal that in the podcast, but what do you see in the future? Where is this taking you?
So there are, there's so many different opportunities that have kind of stemmed off of, you know, doing this market. And I think that that is, I'm so grateful to be able to see the different opportunities. Some of them, you know, I might take, some of them I might try. Some of them I'm already moving on. But I do know one of the things that will, I'm definitely right now moving on and have been since the beginning. I just kind of didn't know it. But it's mentoring small creative businesses. And that kind of started out life as an empowerment kind of thing, like these pep talks where, you know, vendors would come to me and, pardon me, you know, they would express doubt or, you know, they would ask a question about what I thought about a certain, you know, something. And for them to come to me and trust that, you know, I'll give them a constructive answer and try to give them as much value in that answer as I can. And the fact that they're showing their vulnerabilities to me and they trust me with that, it has always been humbling. And I'm grateful that I'm trusted with that information where, you know, we've had some serious talks about all kinds of things that feed into, you know, the success of a business. And so, and I'm talking about like domestic violence. I'm talking about, you know, business owners that have dealt with cancer and, you know, business owners that have dealt with the death of a child, you know, the business owners that have dealt with divorce while they're trying to successfully run their business, you know, suicide, self-doubt, you know, it's for, and I, you know, I have to think that part of the reason they're coming to me is there's something that has to do with my job, my, you know, my past life as a police officer, that, you know, whatever it is, that the skill set that I obtained doing that, that I put myself out there as, you know, I'm a vault. I will never, you know, air your business. I will, you know, never ridicule or judge you for coming to me and being this brave. Yeah. So the empowerment part of it, and then also trying to, you know, provide inspiration, but especially, and this is my favorite part, letting all business owners know, you know, I'm not perfect. There is no way to get to perfection. And I'm going to share my stories of how I screwed up and the lessons I learned because of those screw ups and those mistakes. And, you know, the, when we stumble and we fall, you know, and I'm never going to hide that and put myself out there as this perfect guru that completely had it all figured out from the beginning, because I don't, and I never will. So my approach is, I'm beside you and we'll go through this journey together. Instead of step aside, I'll lead the way. Instead, we're going to be together and we'll figure this out together. And yeah, it's sometimes it's not going to be pretty and your hair is going to get messed up and you might, you know, have your mascara running down your face, you know, because you're crying because you're so damn frustrated by, you know, taking one step forward and five steps back. But we're going to be there together and we're going to be a hot mess together. And, you know, I just, cause that's my authenticity right there. That's me. You know, I'm not ever going to come from a place of this is how you do it because I figured it out and I'm perfect. And so I just think there needs to be more of that out there, mm-hmm. of the stories of, wow, I really screwed that up and that really sucked. Mm-hmm. But here are the things you can learn from my screw up. And I don't mind putting myself out there like that. Mm-hmm. And I hope to encourage other business owners to be able to be okay with their screw ups and, but also to be there to celebrate like those exciting moments, like mm-hmm. having a podcast, which is beyond amazing. Hello. And so I feel like there needs to be something out there in it. And I know that I've been headed there, you know, this whole time. And so that's kind of our next step is, doing more with, you know, empowering and teaching and, you know, doing whatever we can to help small creative businesses, to get where they need to go and to feel good about themselves in the process.
Right. And I love that. I really absolutely love that about you, because I think when you learn that for yourself and you figured it out how to transfer to a creative field, you want to go back and help somebody else because that's what life is about, you know?
Yes, for sure.
Absolutely. So my last question for you, this talking is so great because I'm telling you right now, I could sit here and listen to your own podcast. I'm excited to see your own seminaries and your own, I'm excited for all that, but I wanted to ask you, do you have like a quote that it helps you to live by? Everyone seems to have something that helps them to think about it, you know? So do you have a quote?
I do. It's a bit of a long quote, and it was Jack Kerouac who said it, and then I think Steve Jobs who kind of picked up this quote and also ran with it. So I can read it to you if you'd like me to.
Yes, please.
Okay, so here it goes. Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs and the square holes. The ones who see things differently, they're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify, or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward, and while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius, because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Mm. Yeah, oh my gosh, it's awesome.
So I have that printed up, and I have it hanging. I had it hanging in my office when I worked for the city of Golden. I have it hanging in my office now. And I'm telling you, every time I come across this quote anywhere, I say like a silent thank you, because, you know, it's when you get out there and you do business, it's hard work. It takes courage. It takes bravery. It takes vulnerability. And I mean, sometimes you just want to sit down and throw yourself a good fit and eat, you know, a dozen cupcakes and drink, you know, yourself a huge margarita and be like, what am I doing? This is too hard. And then, you know, you always have to remind yourself, like, when you're blazing paths, you know, it's going to be hard work, and you're going to be sometimes alone, and you have got to, you know, believe in yourself and just know that, you know, that you're a crazy one, and you've got to trust that you're on that right path. Mm. So that's why I love that.
No, I love that quote. I think it's pretty remarkable, you know. I think it's pretty remarkable. And I think that the people that are listening to this, if they don't really feel inspired to overcome their fears and just jump into their dreams, you know, I really believe that we have a watch. People step into their dreams and being incredible and changing people's in the midst of that. So I think it's amazing. Bernadette, you're such a sunshine for so many. Aww. You really are. And your vision for how you run your business, how you care for makers, how you care for the city where you are planted, it's unbelievable. And I know that this is just the starting of something incredible. And I am excited to watch you and cheer up for you and like all your amazing things that you put it out there in the world. We want to thank you for being here. And I will add the links for the website, the coming up shows. If you listen to this and you're living in Colorado, when is your next show?
So our next show is our summer pop-up in Loveland, Colorado, and it's July 26th and 27th. So it's next week. And my God, I can't even sleep. I'm so 27 excited.
27 and 28, right?
27th and 28th. I'm so excited. I can't even remember the dates.
That's great. I'm looking at my calendar.
Well, thank God for one of us knowing when it is.
So is this summer pop-up show? What did people expect to find there?
So, just one of a kind pieces, you know, unique. Can't find it anywhere else. Antique, vintage, salvage, upcycled, handmade, you know, artisan foods. It's going to be a thriving marketplace full of some of the best creative business owners. And it is just to be in that environment is, I feel blessed every day to be around vendors just like you. It's phenomenal. So yeah, if your listeners are available, they have to get there,
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Bernadette, thank you again so much for being here, Monday Motivation Podcast. And I'll see you guys until next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.